Today's lesson is one of a lesson that I hope there will be two or three parts to it. And the title are the goal of these two, three, or four lessons over the next few weeks. The goal and objective will be permitting the Bible to tell us what it claims for itself. What has the Bible claimed for itself? What claim does it make of itself? We hope that those of you who commit yourself to studying these two, three, or four lessons with us, you will find it helpful, encouraging, and challenging. When we speak of the Bible, we are referring to the 66 books which comprise this one book. The Bible is one book that is made up of 66 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and on. These are different books. And there are a total of 66 of them that make up the one book called the Bible. So when we refer to the Bible, we are speaking of these 66 books. Which was written over a period of 1600 years. The first book of the Bible was written some 1400 years before Jesus Christ. And the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, was completed or written about 100 AD. That's about 1600 years, the Bible. It is accepted that the Bible is God's revelation and God's message to mankind. Within these 66 books called the Bible, these 66 books constitute the Bible, but within them, throughout these books, there are certain claims. Wait, we are not saying merely what a person says about the Bible. What we are saying, that within these pages, the Bible makes certain claim about itself. And that's what we'll be looking at. Within these books, let us start with the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17.
And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures.
Here you have, notice, you have the Apostle Paul writing to a preacher, a young preacher called Timothy. Hence, the book carries the name of the person to whom the letter was written. But notice this. What was written to Timothy is also inspired, because that constitutes part of the Bible. Start again, brother.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise.
This. He's not telling Timothy what to do. He's telling Timothy what was a fact in Timothy's life. That Timothy knew the scripture from he was a youth. Amen. And explaining to Timothy that it is able to make one wise unto salvation through faith which is
in Christ Jesus.
Read on.
All scripture.
Then now he's laying down something that Timothy should keep in mind. All scripture. Wait. This is not merely all script or all writing. He's talking about the writing that is God breathed in. All scripture
is given by inspiration of God.
Is given by the in-breathing of God. That's what that word, inspiration, that's what it means. All scripture is given by the in-breathing of God. Wait. What it is saying, the men who wrote the Bible, they didn't just get up and feel good and decided to write something. No. It was the Almighty God in breath, placed in them, and guided them to write.
Amen.
Not what they feel, but what he wanted them to write. Amen. All scripture is given by the in-breathing
of God.
Wait. Brother Mitchell, another word for that. All scripture is given by the input of God. Brother Mitchell, another term, all scripture is given by the in-placing of God. Read on, read.
And is profitable.
And it is profitable.
For doctrine.
For when you want doctrine, you go to God in breathing.
For reproof.
When you want to be reproved, beset. On the right track, go to the word of God, the in-breathing of God. Read.
For correction.
When you've gone wrong and want to be brought back to the right path in any form or shape, spiritually, morally, ethically, you go to the in-breathing of God.
For instruction in righteousness.
When you want instruction to make you righteous, you go to the in-breathing of God.
That the man of God.
Here is what it is able to accomplish. That the man of God might be.
May be perfect.
Perfect.
Thoroughly furnished.
Not just furnished, but completely furnished.
Unto all good works.
Unto all good works. So here is part of what the Bible is telling us about itself. Now, in these two or three lessons, might be four over the next two or three or four weeks, I plan to show where the Bible or the scriptures claim for itself to be, notice these five things that we hope to look on over the next two, three, four, 5 weeks. One, that the Bible claims verbal inspiration. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? Well, that's what we plan to start on this morning. So in a few minutes, we'll pick up on that. But I want to list the five things that over the next few weeks. So one is the fact that the Bible claims verbal inspiration. Wait, that it is inspired verbally. Two, the Bible claims that it is all sufficient. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? That it does not need help from Carl Mitchell or any man or angel. That it of itself is all sufficient to accomplish in us and for us what God intends. The Bible claims that. It's all sufficiency. Three, that it is completely indestructible. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? If you throw the Bible in fire, it burn up. Yes, but the truth that is expressed, you can't burn it up, you can't drown it. Yeah, you get the point? And there is a good example where a man actually tried to do that. In fact, a king, not realizing that once you cannot destroy the source from where the word comes, you cannot destroy the Bible. So we will be looking on the indestructibility of the Bible. That was the third. The fourth thing that we hope to look at is that the Bible is completely without error or without mistake. The Bible is completely without any error or without any mistake. Sometimes we use one word to describe that, and that is the word inerrant. And five, over the next few weeks, we hope to look on the fact that not only the four things that I've mentioned just now, but that the Bible is ageless. But not only ageless, but that the Bible is timelessly and perpetually relevant and applicable. That is, we'll be looking at that. The Bible speaks relevantly to men and women 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, 1,800 years ago. 500 years ago, 200 years ago, and the Bible is still speaking relevantly to men and women today as if it were written just today. So we'll be looking on these. So what did I say we will start on today? That the Bible is verbally inspired. The Bible claims verbal inspiration for itself. This verbal inspiration means that the Bible not only come from the Almighty God or from a divine source, but the very words, did I hear you right, Brother Mitchell? The very words are verbal expression used to express God's will and purpose. God did not leave that up to the mere vocabulary of Paul, or Peter, or John, or Matthew, or Luke. You mean the words? Yes. That was not left up to them. While they were not robots, but the Almighty God direct them to select the very word that they would be using to express God's will and purpose. The very verbal expression, the very word. That's right. That's right. And there are a few passages in the Bible that make that very plain. The Almighty God gave them through the Holy Spirit the very word used to express God's will and purpose. Notice this. Let us start with the Old Testament. Now, verbal inspiration is sometimes referred to as plenary inspiration, plenary. So if you read somewhere about plenary inspiration, it is the same verbal inspiration. Can we start with the Old Testament prophets? The Old Testament prophets, over and over again, claim to be the recipients of divine revelation over and over again. And I need to say this, because while you might read somewhere in the Old Testament where a man of God talk about what he dreamt and what. Get this. The Old Testament prophets, get this. They were not permitted to pass their dream off, or even what they thought, or even what they imagined. They were not permitted to go to God's people and tell God's people that that was from God. So, the Old Testament prophet did not pass their dreams, their imagination, their thoughts, their likes on as the Word of God. There are many men and women today, they do not finish dreaming before they find themselves at the street corner on the bus telling that they got a message from God. In the time of the prophet, that was a dangerous thing to do. Wait, it is still dangerous to do, is only that in those days, God was more instant. That's right. God would sometime strike men with death and other negative situation then. It is still dangerous today, it's only that God is exercising more patience. When you read throughout the Old Testament, you'll hear statements such as, the word of the Lord came to me. When you read the Old Testament, you hear words such as, the Lord spake unto me. Words such as, or a phrase such as, the word of God. Words such as, God said. The Lord commanded throughout the Old Testament. Phrase like the four or five I have just mentioned are found some 700 times in the first five books of the Bible. That's right. 700 times. Phrase such as the word of the Lord came. The Lord spake. God spake. The Lord commanded. Just in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those first five books, these phrases at different places occur some 700 times. And throughout the rest of the Bible, phrases such as that have just occurred some 3,000 times in the Bible. When you hear those phrases, and the Lord said, the word of the Lord came to me. God commanded. These are telling you that what that speaker or prophet is saying or writing is not from him or her. From God. And as I've said, just in the first five books, 700 times you'll find phrases like that. Throughout the rest of the Bible, you're going to find that phrase like that occurs some 3,000 times. Look at 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. 2 Samuel 23, we are still on. The Bible is verbally inspired, meaning the verbal expression. When that prophet speak, he did not go down into his vocabulary. Watch here. He did not take Webster dictionary. He did not take the word of the philosophy of Plato or Aristotle and try to impress you or me with philosophical word. The Holy Spirit guided them in selecting the right word to express spiritual things. We'll be getting to a passage which almost exactly said that exact thing.
Amen.
Did I ask for 2 Samuel 23, verse 2? Let us hear it.
The Spirit of the Lord speak by me.
Wait, somebody didn't hear that, brother. The Spirit of the Lord does what?
Speak by me.
That is the Spirit, don't move. The Spirit of the Lord speak through me. Read.
And his word was in my tongue.
Whose word?
His word.
The Spirit of the Lord is what my tongue utter. That's verbal inspiration. Saying the verbal expression I use was selected by the Spirit of the Lord. That's right. Verbal inspiration mean that they did not get confused and told their dreams and their feelings and pass it on as the word of God. They did not. How do you know, Brother Mitchell? Listen, the scripture in Jeremiah 23. Notice what I've said just now, that these inspired writers of both Old and New Testament, but especially in the Old Testament times when we hear about dreams, these men did not get confused and carried away with their nightmare and their dreams, and went about telling their dreams as if it were God's word. They did not. Listen, God's warning to them and by extension to us. Jeremiah 23 and verse 16 first. There are quite a few verses we want from this.
Thus says the Lord of hosts.
This is what the God of hosts said.
Hearken not unto the words of the prophets.
Wait, I thought you should listen to the prophet. But you see, the Almighty God is warning the then people and by extension the now people that we must be careful to whom we listen when it comes to spiritual things.
Amen.
Don't ever forget that. You always have had a false prophet and you will always have false prophet.
Amen.
Careless eater are the likeliest person to ingest food that are not healthy for you. Careless religious listeners are the most likely to digest false religious teaching.
Amen.
Start again, brother.
Thus said the Lord of hosts.
This is what the God of hosts says.
Hearken not unto the words of the prophets.
Don't listen to the words of these, really, is false prophet. Read.
That prophesieth unto you.
Mm-hmm.
They make you vain.
They make you vain.
Amen.
Read on. Wait, that's verse what?
Verse 16.
It finished.
No.
Read.
They speak a vision of their own heart.
Somebody didn't hear that, brother. Somebody didn't hear that. Because remember, we are living in an age when men and women are claiming that they are getting vision from God.
Amen.
The Almighty God is enlightening us that the vision they claim to be getting is vision from their own heart.
Amen.
God did not give them any message. It's their own imagination and sinfulness.
Amen.
Read, brother.
They speak a vision of their own heart,
mm-hmm.
and not out of the mouth of the Lord.
Here again, out of the mouth of the Lord. When the Almighty God inspired his prophet or his servant verbally, those words will come from God's mouth. Step down to verse 22.
The anger of the Lord shall not return.
Wait, God can get angry. Let us hear what he's going to get angry here about.
Until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I have not sent these prophets.
Wait. There are some prophets claiming to be sent by God, but they were not sent by God.
Amen.
It was so then, and it is same way now. We must be mindful of that.
Amen.
Read on, brother.
I have not sent these prophets.
God says, I have not sent them.
Yet they ran. I have not spoken to them.
God says, I have not spoken to them.
Yet they prophesied.
You all hear? They preach. That's what the word prophesy means.
Amen.
Men and women come telling you this is God's message. This is what the Bible says. And for many of you who do not spend time with God's word, you don't know whether they are telling the truth or not. Remember, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, false religious teaching contaminate our soul just like germy food contaminate the biological body. Read on, brother. What verse is that?
The end of verse 21.
Read on.
But if they had stood in my counsel and have caused my people to hear my words.
You hear? God is saying, if they had just done this, if they had just listened to my word.
Amen.
And preach my word and cause my people to hear my word. Read.
Then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings.
You see, they went about dream, preaching their dream, their imagination, what they think, what they like. That was verse 22.
Yes.
Step down to 25 and 26.
I have heard what the prophet said. That prophesy lies in my name.
They did what, brother?
Prophesy lies.
They preach lies in my name.
Saying.
Everybody hear that? We are talking about verbal inspiration. We're the Almighty God in breed in his servant, not only the message, but the means by which that message is expressed. That is the very word that they were to use to express God's plan and purpose. The Holy Spirit gave them that word.
Amen.
Are those words. That's verbal inspiration. Read on, brother.
That prophesy lies in my name, say.
What they preach? Lies in my name, say.
I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the hearts of the prophets?
The Almighty God say, how long will they continue to lie on me?
That prophesy lies.
They prophesy not the truth, but lies.
Amen.
That was verse 25 and 26.
Not the end of verse 26.
Read.
Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart.
You all get it? It's their own imagination fooling them.
Amen.
That's right. They got carried away with their nightmare.
Amen.
That's right. That is happening today. Mm-hmm. Men and women get up and feel good about something, and whatever they imagine, it sounds good to them and look good to them. They went about preaching it. That's why we have so many churches.
Amen.
Men and women just get up and Mrs. Ellen G. White read the Bible and didn't understand a lot of things about what the New Testament teaches. Didn't understand that the Sabbath and all that was meant for the Jews. And my God, she went about preaching. She got a vision and what she saw. God didn't give that woman any vision. It's her imagination led her away. Here God is saying it. Read, brother.
Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams.
You hear? False religious falsehood direct us away from God.
Amen.
When we jump and shout and roll in the dirt and do all the religious thing and think we are close to God, we are far away from Him, because what we have accepted did not come from God's word.
Amen.
What verse is that?
Verse 27.
Don't step down to 28.
The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream.
The Almighty God now is setting the record straight. This is what you must do. You see, learn to sift the wheat from the tares.
Amen.
The prophet that has a dream,
let him tell a dream.
Go tell your neighbor and friend and co-worker what you dreamed last night.
Yes.
Now, if they want to buy pick tree from it or whatever, that's their business. But don't go telling your dream as if God is sending you a message. God says, when you have a dream, tell a dream.
Amen.
Don't get God mixed up in it. Read on, brother.
And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully.
You notice the distinction? Wait, notice here. The prophet who has a dream,
let him tell a
dream. Let him tell it as a dream, not Amen. As the word of God. But notice now.
And he?
He who has my word.
Amen.
Not only must you tell it, you must tell it how?
Faithfully.
Faithfully.
Yes.
There is a clarification there in how you must tell God's word.
Amen.
Faithfully. Mm-hmm. That was verse 28.
Not the end of verse 28.
Give me, brother.
What is a shaft to the wheat?
Say the Lord.
The
Almighty God said it. What that means, you know, don't mix up God's word with the vanity of your dream.
Amen.
The vanity of your dream is the chaff. That's the part that the breeze blow away when, well, many of you don't even know about the country when you shell the peas or sift this. There are certain parts you throw away. There are certain parts of that, as you throw it up in the air, breeze take it away. And the solid, good part go down in the container. God's word is the good part that goes down into the container. That which the breeze blow away is a chaff. That's man-made teaching. But brother, give me a little of verse 31 and 32 now.
Behold, I am against the prophets.
I am what?
Against the prophets.
Brother McFarlane, that was so then and it is still so now.
Amen.
I am against the prophet that does what?
Say the Lord that use their tongues and say he saith.
You hear that? Even you and I must be careful when we go telling people that God said.
Amen.
We must make sure we are speaking what is thus saith the Lord. We are talking about verbal inspiration, that the Bible claims verbal inspiration. And the Almighty God is helping us to understand here how important verbal inspiration is. That verbal inspiration means that they use the very word of God to express God's truth.
Amen.
And God's plan and purpose. Read, brother.
Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies.
Yeah, religious falsehood does not lead men and women to God.
Amen.
Truly. It matters not how big that church is and how zealous religious people are. If they do not get the pure teaching from God's word, religious falsehood pull men and women away farther and farther from God. That's what the passage is teaching. When those of us who preach religious falsehood, when you accept that religious falsehood as God's word when it is not, instead of bringing you and God together, it creates gulf between you and the Almighty God.
Amen.
There's little more there, but brother, let that stay because I must wrap up now. May I listen to these few points that I make as I strive to come to the end of this lesson? Thoughts. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? Thoughts. That which we think. Thoughts. Purpose. That is the things that I plan. Purpose, plan, will must be expressed by words. My thoughts in my mind is of no use to anyone. Did you know that to some extent it's the same with God? In the same way that yours are my thoughts, my purpose, my plan, my will must be expressed by words. It's the same for God. God's thoughts, God's plan, God's purpose, God's will, God's intent have to be expressed by words. In the inspiration of the Bible, it means that the divine inspiration of the scriptures extend not only to the form. What do you mean by form? Not only to how it is expressed to us, but divine inspiration extend both to the form and this, and to the contents, or to the substance of God's message. Divine inspiration covers not only the form, that is how it is said. It also encompasses the substance, what is said. When we hear about inspiration, we are thinking in terms of what God said. You are right. But it covers not only what God says, the contents are the substance. It covers the form, how he said it. That is the word that brings God's plan, God's purpose to us. The Almighty God did not leave those words up to the prophets or to the apostles. The very verbal expression, the Holy Spirit guide them in selecting it. One of the most dynamic passages, and that I'm not even going to get to touch it, but next week before we go on to another point, I love to bring that passage in. Just one or two more points here. Notice, watch here now. Notice whenever the New Testament make an appeal to the Old Testament. Notice this. Whenever the New Testament is speaking about the Old Testament and any truth, it is never I thought or it is suggested. Whenever the New Testament refers to the Old Testament, it is always it is written. That's striking. Never, you don't hear it expressed, it is thought or it is suggested, but always it is written. What is written? That's what God wants to be written. Notice this again. Probably this is the last passage. Read quickly for me. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through verse 12. I want you to notice something here.
And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither therefore.
Wait. Eloquent means you can express yourself. Watch here now. I'm not eloquent.
Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of a tongue.
Yes, read.
And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's tongue? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf? Or the seeing? Or the blind? Have not I the Lord?
That's right.
Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say.
Do I have your attention? I want to finish preaching, but I need your attention. Notice, God didn't say, I will be with your mind. And I will teach you what to think. That's what it says?
No, brother.
I will be with your...
With thy mouth.
Your mouth. And I will tell you what thou
shall say.
Not what you must think. Because Moses, you can think, but what you think is of no consequence.
Amen.
I will tell you what you must say.
Amen.
That's striking. As powerful and as productive as our imagination is, the Almighty God did not say to Moses, I will be with your mind, and I will teach you what to think. No, I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. That is the verbal expression come from your mouth. You will only be a channel. I will tell you what to say. That is verbal inspiration. There will still be a few more statements to be made and verbal inspiration before we go on to the second point in these 5 points that we want to cover over the next few weeks. Remember, I list them again over the next few weeks that the Bible claims for itself verbal inspiration, meaning that it's not only the substance or the message that they preach, But the very method, the very means of bringing that message, that is the verbal expression used to bring God's message, was selected and given to the inspired writer by the Almighty God. The Bible is verbally inspired. And remember, one of the most powerful passages on that next week. And then secondly, the Bible also claimed that it is all sufficient, does need man's help. The Bible claims that it is completely indestructible. No government, no man, no weapon can destroy God's word. The Bible teaches that it is completely without error or mistake. And the fifth point, the Bible teaches that it is ageless, and that it is timelessly and perpetually relevant and applicable. Today we spend the time only on one point, that the Bible is verbally inspired, meaning the very word that brought God's message to us. You and I know about baptism. When the word chosen to express what baptism was, baptizo, was used, that was not any mistake. That was not dependent on the vocabulary of Paul or Peter. The Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, helped them to choose that word. We can trust the Bible, because it's not here by accident, but by the will and purpose of God. If you're here today, if you're a child of God who is slipping, growing weak, lack conviction, you can come today seeking God's help. If you are a man or woman who has never become a Christian the Bible's way, then what better time than now to do so? The Almighty God gives us today. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what Jesus Christ wants to give to every man, every woman: peace, rest. Fellowship with the Almighty God. Come now as we stand and sing. Psalm 367 is the song. As we sing this song to the glory of God, you can respond to his love and grace. If you'd like to become a child of God, if you'd like to recommit your life to Jesus Christ, you can come now, because you know what? You need Jesus Christ.